Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, our special guest, Dr. Renee Berdow, shares some special communication tips that'll help us in our relationships throughout life. Now here's Dr. Renee.
Well, I am so excited for you to meet today my friend, Dr. Renee Berdow. She and her husband, Paul, and her children, Rebecca and Ben, have come down to be in Portland for the very first time. And they actually said, this is an amazing, amazing, beautiful city. They didn't mention weird at all. And so we have them fooled, at least for now, but it's a delight to have them as our guest. Her area of expertise is communication. You know, we're in a relationship series called Extra Grace Required, and for us to be right with God, we need to be right with one another at all levels, in all arenas of relationship. And obviously, key to that is our ability to effectively communicate. You can be the greatest person in the world, but if you can't communicate with the people around you, your relationships will be dead in the water. I first met Dr. Berdow in a doctoral class, doctor of ministry class, and I was the student, and she was one of the presenters, and she was in a lineup of presenters, and they were all very good, had a lot of expertise, very impressive with their degrees and their material and their ability to communicate. But I was, you know, I don't want to compare, but she was like at the top of the list. She was at the top of her game. And I was impressed with how approachable she was, how inclusive she was. And from the moment she walked into that room and began to teach, she commanded the room. She just had an ability, probably by personality as well as skill. I don't know all that went into that, but just immediately you were leaning in and you were listening to her. But mostly it was the content of what she presented that day. I thought, wow, this is helpful to me in every dimension of my life, and this is something that our church needs to hear. And so I am excited. Did I mention the word excited? Excited, I am, that we have her here today. She has her PhD from North Dakota State University. She teaches at the Northwest University, one of the finest universities in all of the world. And some of our students from our church go there and are continuing to go there. And it really is a university that I've been so impressed with, really on the rise in terms of their academics and the bona fides of their professors. I mean, it's not like it was when you and I went there, Linda. We could have taught, but not now. We don't hold a candle to what they've amassed as a teaching staff. But all that to say, I want you to welcome with your most enthusiastic Portland Christian Center welcome, Dr. Renee Berdow. She comes to minister to us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Woo! Excited to be in Portland. Yes. So this is actually my first official visit to this state. I actually come to you from the Midwest, and then the Lord brought me to Northwest University just last year. So I'm learning all about this great part of the country, and I am so thankful and blessed to be here talking with you today. So as Pastor Ray had shared, we met a couple of months ago at a doctoral class when I was talking about maintaining relationships. And this happens to be something that I love more than anything else in the world, and it's actually what I study, it's what I research, it's what I read other research about, and it's what I teach all of my students about. So I've prepared, I hope, an interesting journey for us to go on today, where I'm going to talk about how do we maintain our relationships. So how am I going to take you on this journey? I'm going to talk to you about the movie Toy Story. Woo! Have we seen Toy Story? Yeah, a couple of you? Yes, Toy Story. So if you've seen the movie Toy Story, it's got this song called You've Got a Friend in Me. And as I was trying to figure out, so I saw this movie back in 1995, so I need to take you on this journey with me so you can kind of see why I picked this movie, why this song matters, and how it really tells us how to work on relationships. So we're going back in time. It's going to be a little visual timeline. 1995. Saw the movie Toy Story, loved it, and the song, I am a music person. I think God speaks to me through music, and I hear things in every kind of genre. And I heard the song, You Got a Friend in Me, You Got a Friend in Me, and it was kind of going through my head. But it was kind of at a point in my life when I wasn't really seeing God as my friend. Like, I wanted him to be my friend, and I prayed because I was told I was supposed to keep praying to him, but it was a challenging time. So I'm going to pause the story right here, okay, because we have to go back in time a little bit farther, way back over here. So I want you to imagine little Dr. B, okay? No, she's kind of about this tall, maybe. And so little Dr. B, so I actually grew up in a rural part of North Dakota, and in North Dakota, you're either Lutheran or you're Catholic. Those are your options. And so I was Catholic. That's the way I learned to worship God when I was young. And as a young Catholic girl, I remember being told, when you mess up, man, when you sin, you save it all up. Like, you make this list, and then you go talk to the priest, and you tell him everything that you did wrong, and then he talks to God, says, oh, yeah, 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 okay, and this is what you need to do to ask for forgiveness. So I didn't have this hotline to God. When I screwed up, I had to go talk to somebody who then, like, talked to God, and then God talked back to me. And so this is how I learned about God. Okay, so we're going back in time now, right back to 1995, watching the Toy Story movie, and I knew God was out there, but I was really, as a teenager and as a young adult, my mind was trying to wrestle with, like, how is God helping me on a daily basis? Because when I needed him, when I messed up, right, am I the only one who's ever messed up? No. When I messed up, I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody at that moment. When I messed up, I was sorry, but I was like, I had to wait. I had to wait on it and sit on it and keep praying about it and then go talk to somebody else. So my connection with God was really kind of stressful. We're going to call it really stressful. So we're going to fast forward in time to a very, what I call, beautiful time in my life. I met my husband. He's right here. I'm so thankful that God brought him to me. Yes, woo, I love him. But when I met Paul, one of the most beautiful things and the reason I knew God brought him into my life is because I could be real with him. I could tell him kind of what was going on in our relationship. And the scariest words that ever came out of my mouth, I said to my husband, well, we were only dating, so to my boyfriend, I was like, I'm really confused about my faith. Like, I don't really kind of know how to talk to God. Like, I know I'm supposed to. I hear these great things that he does, and he's supposed to be there to help me. And I'm praying to him, but I don't, like, hear him. And I can't kind of figure out what he wants me to do with my life. So my husband helped me through this. I think that's what kind of blossomed our marriage. To start so fast forward, just a little bit past that, got married, woo! And even fast forward in time, right, I have two beautiful children who I brought with me today. Woo, hello. They love watching their mother run around and share stories about them. You'll hear more, don't worry. So when you come back in time and this, you've got a friend in me, this song stuck with me for a while. And I was thinking about how do I connect with God? And thankful that Paul brought me there. And I still remember the night. So we started doing faith classes together as a couple, which is what I really think helped make us stronger. And in those faith classes, I still remember the night. I remember what was happening. I was actually sitting at a table, and there was a blue folder, this exact blue color, I'm not kidding. And I remember that's when I felt like God was talking to me. He was talking to me, I could hear him, and my life has changed ever since. And so this relationship, this friendship with God is so very important. And I'm gonna talk to you about friendships and relationships in a couple ways. Number one, I want you to be able to have that joyous connection. Right? I don't even know how to explain it. I don't have earthly words to explain how awesome it is when I hear God telling me to do stuff. So I want you to have that experience. But I also, you can have this in your relationships. You can. And so I'm going to give you some tips today that you're going to be able to work on your relationship with every single soul in this room, in your life, and with God. Sound good? Yes. So when we go there, I actually want to give you a little bit of scripture that I think really helps us see how much God wanted us to focus on our friendships and our relationships. And for me, this came from John 15. And I had heard this so many times. I'd heard it so many times. But it wasn't until the night of the blue folder that I actually started to understand what God really wanted me to be doing in relationship and with communion with other people. So let me just read this to you, kind of take it in and feel what God's trying to tell us about friendships. And remember, this, if you know anything where John 15 is at, this is the night when Jesus is talking to his disciples about friendship, right? it was the last night. He had all of this wisdom to depart. And so these words are so powerful for what we need to do with our friendships. So John 15, I am the true grapevine, and my Father, he's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches then are gathered into a pile and burnt. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want. Pause. This means if you do relationships well, like, God's really going to be there for you, right? You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. That brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy, like beyond up to the top of our heads. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Love each other. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And then he says this, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, as I have told you everything that the Father has told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. For me, I see friendship in a lot of places in the Bible and relationships and the call that we have from our Heavenly Father to be able to have good relationships with people, with lots of people. But this is where he says, I chose you. So the verse that I go back to and the verse that I love the most is John 15, verse 16. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, and if you're still trying to figure out, you know, all of the awesome things he has planned for you, but he chose you to go out and create communion and to create relationships with all of the people in this earthly life that we get to live. He needs us to be going out and spreading the good word of what's going on. I chose you. Like, marinate on that for a minute. Like, really? God chose you. That's so amazing. So Jesus is my friend. And this is what this means to me. Now, I know that God and Jesus, right, they're not on Facebook. But if they were on Facebook, woo, this is when the friend request would pop up and I would run around and show all of you, be like, Jesus is my friend. He's not, right? I know. He's on Facebook. He knows what we're all posting. I know. But he's my friend, and he knows exactly what it is that we need to be doing. So why am I here today? Why did Pastor Ray say, come talk to us, right? Because we can read John in the Bible and think about all this stuff, but I study relationship maintenance. So I'm going to talk to you today about relationship maintenance and what it is and why we want to study it. So relational maintenance is actually a theory that I teach in all of my communication classes, but it's really just 7 quick tips about how to maintain our relationships better. But can I make it even easier for you? I want you to think about it like car maintenance. Has anybody driven a car? If you've driven a car in your life, a vehicle, raise your hand. Woo! Okay, all right, we've got some experts in here. Got some experts. If I'm going to be driving my car, right, I want it to be able to work. I want to think about it like car maintenance. So if my car, if I don't put gas in my car, it's not going to run very well, right? It needs gas to keep going. And this is, okay, this is, my husband will rat me out if I don't tell you now. This might be the part of car maintenance I need the most help with. Because I sometimes wait till that little yellow light comes on to, oh yeah, see, amen, sister, yes, I'm not the only one. But when that little yellow light comes on, it reminds me that I need to fill gas and pay attention to my relationships. Wouldn't it be so easy if all of a sudden, when somebody was mad at you, the yellow light came on? Oh yeah, focus on me, right? I'm your spouse, I'm your child, I'm your parent, I'm your whatever, like it's not working, bright light. No, but when it's not working, think about it like car maintenance. We have to look for the warning signs. Are the wiper blades wearing out? Do we need to change the oil? Do we need to fill gas? Our relationships need lots and lots and lots of maintenance. I teach an entire class at Northwest called Love and Communication. And in that class, I've been telling them the whole semester about this whole bunch of tools they can use. And I think right now, at the end of the semester, with their final coming up, they're like, there's too many tools. But you need a lot of tools to work on your car. You need a lot of tools to work on your relationship. But not only thinking about it like car maintenance, I want you to know kind of how I study it. So I'm a relationship researcher, and what that means is as a relationship researcher, I want to know your story. Anybody that does any kind of research in the realm of relationships usually goes out and asks people, like, what's working in your life? What's your story? What is it that you are doing on a daily basis that help you out? So the research that I do, the research that I conduct, I'm talking to actual couples, I'm talking to friends, I study how college students talk with their parents, and it's not just me guessing, like, oh, this is what we're, like, I'm actually sitting down and asking for lots and lots of people to tell me, what is your story? I want to know what your story is so that I'm able to figure out how to give other people the tools to do relationships better. So I learn your story, and what this means is that I want to be able to know when we're studying this, how do we know how to use the tools at the right time? So talked about the car maintenance, right? Talked about the car maintenance. We know that that's what we're able to do to take care of our vehicle, to keep it running. But we've had researchers that have been looking at this for quite a few decades. And so on the slide that'll come up, why do we study this? There's going to be like this list of some researchers that are on there. People started studying this in the field of communication back in the early 90s. So it's been studied for decades. And what we're finding out when we're looking at these relationships is, number one, if we know how to do it well, we're going to have successful functioning relationships. It's going to allow us to be successful. And beyond that, the quality relationships that we have are going to make us better parents, better siblings, right? Anybody ever fight with their sibling? Yeah, all right, I see some of you. Yeah, some of you are like, no. Some of you are like, yeah, it was this morning. Some of you parents might have seen that happen too. These quality relationships will endure if you start to figure out how do we invest these tools in our relationships to make them better. So it's not just me giving you this magic list. This has been studied for decades, and we've seen it work in research over and over again. And the research that I'll even talk more about tonight, we'll talk about how it works in all ages of relationships and which one of these seven is the best. I bet you already have a hint because you looked at what the title of my evening program is called. But so, why do we study this? We study it to learn how to have successful relationships. So here's, I'm going to break down how the slides are going to work for you. There's going to be two categories. One's going to say friendship or love. If you have a friend at all, in any capacity, whether they are your bestest, bestie ever in the universe, or somebody that you just met in line at Starbucks getting a coffee this morning, okay? Any level of friendship, this goes up to, oh, I'm so in love with you. Oh, will you marry me, right? Or I've been married to you for 40, 50, 60 years, and I still love you, okay? So that whole first category, it doesn't matter what level you are at. Parent-child relationship, college-student relationships, sibling relationships. If you are in middle school or high school or elementary school, this helps all of your friendships. That's category one. The second category is your relationship with God. I'm going to give you the ways to think about maintenance with God. So you ready to go into the seven tools? Yes. So I gave you my little timeline, told you why it's important. Now here are the tools. Here are the tools to get you excited. So the first tactic that we're going to talk about today is self-disclosure. What self-disclosure means is actually sharing your thoughts and feelings with the people that you love and like and meet at Starbucks and who are taking an obnoxiously long amount of time to check out at Target. But it means sharing the good and the bad. We often think disclosure means, oh, I would love to tell you everything amazing about my day and everything about us. But it's about the good and the bad. We model this in our own family. Every night at our dinner table, we talk about the highs and the lows of the day. Because it's not just about telling everybody the amazing things that I did with my life. It's about saying, I'm struggling. I don't know what's going on. I believe that the only reason that my marriage is as strong as it is because God broke me down right away. And I said to my then boyfriend, I'm struggling with my faith. Because I could tell him I was struggling. So this is the good and the bad. So what does this look like in those relationships? Number one, in our friendships and our loving relationships, we have to tell people how we are feeling. This is opening up and saying exactly, I love you or I'm frustrated with you. Really, people, we have to be real. We have to say what's on our heart because God has to help us to be able to make sense of that and heal it with the other person. And if we don't know what's happening and we're not open and honest, then we need to be thinking about that. So with God, how do we use this with God? If I'm maintaining my relationship with God, I think the best way to be able to self-disclose to God is to simply pray. But this means not just praying because I want something or because I'm worshiping here in this beautiful place that God has brought to you with all of these amazing people sitting next to you. This means like stopping and praying and being like, God, it's Tuesday morning, this traffic is hard. I really need you to be open and honest with God. And we forget, because we know he's all-knowing, and we know he's all-gracious, and he helps us, he still needs us to be able to say it to him. God, help me. I'm looking at my two beautiful children, but God knows I need help parenting. It would be silly to say that I'm the most perfect mom ever and there's never a challenge. Nope, some mornings I'm lucky I get out of the door with hair in my head still. But I say, God, please help me. Like, I know that you need us to work through these things together. So self-disclosure is how we do that. So the first tool is self-disclosure. The second tool that we're going to be able to use is positivity. Positivity is the tool that helps you maintain your relationships. And I'll give you a hint right now, and this is why the entire seminar this afternoon is about this one. This is the tool that works better than all of the rest. So if you want an emergency tool in your back pocket to fix relationships, this is the one you're going to pull out. And being positive is about being cheerful, yes. It's about being optimistic, yes, but for those of you that are like, I am not going to run around and smile all the time right now because I don't feel like it. It doesn't just mean like jumping out. I realize my level of energy might be a little hard to match sometimes, but it's about being uncritical. That's the third piece. So it's cheerful, it's optimistic, but it's also being uncritical. And so how do we use this in our relationships? So in our friendships, in our day-to-day lives, our friendship and our loving relationships, if we're going to use positivity, the simplest thing you can do is smile. So we're going to practice right now. I know I'm putting you all on the spot. I want you to look right and look left and smile at your friends. Mm-hmm. All right. I know you're having lots of fun. Woo! See what just happened right there, though? I didn't ask you to share a single thing. I didn't say open your mouth, talk, pretend to be super excited. All you had to do was smile. And even if you're kind of tired and you're like, I got up early today, I know, you would still smile. And did you hear the energy in here? This is why this is your emergency tool. If you pull it out of your back pocket and things are tough, it allows you to be able to break the ice and remind each other that, yes, we're human. Yes, we make mistakes. We might laugh about this someday. Right now, maybe not. But being positive helps you to be able to do that. So smile, that's something simple you can do. But what about with God? How can we use this positivity with God? Yeah, we need to tell him he's great and praise him. You were all doing such a good job today. My heart was lifted up as I watched you praising him and being optimistic about your faith in him. But for me, the more important one with positivity in God is to be uncritical. It is about being uncritical with the plans he has for your life. And I can tell you that some of my friends and my family that live in the Midwest might still be questioning this part of God, because they're like, why would you take and pluck my friend and my family member or my grandchildren up from the Midwest and bring them all the way over to the Pacific Northwest? I was uncritical with this decision because God needed me to do stuff here, and I felt it in my soul more than I've ever felt anything before. It was like he wrote it in skywriting, but not really. But there are some people still who are, might be critical about that. So be uncritical. When God gives you a task, go do it and be uncritical. He's got a plan. He has got a plan. He's got this, and we've seen it over and over again. So be uncritical. So we started self-disclosure. That was number one. I'm going to keep reminding you of all of them because these are important tools. Self-disclosure. Then we went on to positivity. Woo, my favorite. Third is understanding. The third tool is understanding, and this one is about being empathetic, about cooperating, and about having patience. Uh-oh. I heard some grumblings in here. Having patience is part of this understanding that we can have with people. And so understanding looks to our friends and our loved ones a little different in today's technological landscape than it did a little while ago. I will tell you the best, most important way. I brought my phone up here. I've used it a couple times. This tool right here, it's a tool, right? It allows us to work anywhere. It allows us to check on our photos on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook or Twitter. There's too many. I'm too old to know all of those. And I use, like, none of those really well. This is wrecking our relationships. Amen. Because if you are walking up to me and you're trying, you have worked up the courage and the nerve, and you're like, okay, I'm supposed to be telling you the good and the bad, and it's hard to tell you the bad, and I finally worked up the nerve to tell you the bad, and you walk up to me to tell me, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's terrible, mm-hmm, yep, totally. You are not listening to your friends. You are not listening to your spouse. You're not listening to your children, and you're not listening to the loving people that are sitting next to you anywhere, in chapel, in your Bible studies, nothing. If it's really 911 important, like my husband and I have this like rule, I feel it like ring, 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 and then they call you like three times in a row, then you'd better know the house is on fire. But unless you have that emergency thing, your friend texting you about what you're doing 14 weeks from now should not take precedence over your relationship today. It shouldn't. So don't let this ruin your relationships. The understanding that, and the understanding, right, that comes from God to be able to connect with other people can only happen if you're listening. And if you aren't listening, you can't understand. So how do we use this with God? How do we use the understanding with God? This is that have patience. And I heard you groan, right? I heard you groan about that patience. If you are trying to figure out what this understanding looks like with God, you need to have patience. I've had trouble with this at certain points in my life. And I've asked God, right? I joked about the skywriting. There have been times I've been in tears, on my knees, saying, God, would you just, like, I don't care, make a purple flower bloom right now. I need something to know what you need me to do. But I have to have patience because it's on his timeline, not mine. Just because I've set aside 20 minutes right now to think about it does not mean this is when God is ready to give it to me. So I would love you, friends, to be able to go to God and to have patience with his plan. So, self-disclosure, positivity, understanding. God also gave us the next one, which I believe is beautiful, networks. He does not want us to do this life alone. He has put people in our life to help us through it. And networks simply means relying on our family members and on our friends. Being able to step in tune with them, bring them on our journey with us. Jesus does this an incredible amount in the Bible. He's bringing people on his journeys all the time. Walk with me. We need to be able to rely on our family and friends to help us through this thing called life, to pray with us when we don't have that patience, to pray with us when we're opening up and self-disclosing about our bad things. And you know what? Did you hear in that verse of John when God says, I will prune you even if you're doing well? You ever feel like you're like, yeah, this is awesome. Wait, what did you... What? Because he needs us to be prepared for better. And it hurts. But if we have our friends and our networks, they can help us through those times when we are dealing with things that hurt. So with friends and love, the most powerful thing I think for us as Christians on any walk that we're on is to get advice from other Christians. Because they're walking the walk. And they've been through some tough things. I will tell you, some of the most beautiful Bible studies I've been involved in have women that are like brand new to life, just starting college, haven't even found the love of their life yet, but want it worse than life. And then all the way over to people who have like 722 grandchildren and like so much wisdom in life. Those Bible studies have enriched me in a way that no other friend could. Right? I'm getting advice from Christians to help me walk my life because people have been in all different seasons. And you need to know that everybody at the same season, my children, my students that I have at Northwest can teach me just as much as somebody who has lived much longer than I. You need to know every person has wisdom. With God, if we are thinking about how do we use how do we think about our network with God, this is it, right here. This means when you know it's your time to come to Portland Christian Center, you should like wake up in the morning and you should like be running here. You should go so joyously like you have never been going anyplace so fast in your life. God has given you this network to get here. So come use your networks, people. Amen. Amen. God gave this to you. I actually was saying to my husband this morning, this is pretty awesome here. It's a long drive from Seattle, but I might make it again. Because you guys are pretty awesome. So, self-disclosure, positivity, understanding, social networks. The next one that we have is called sharing tasks. It is exactly what it sounds like. It means the things we have to do in this world, friends, do it with somebody else. Share in those tasks together. Tackle things like cooperatively and do it joyously. So when kiddos and children and teens and college students, when you come home and mom and dad say, hey, can you help me work on dinner for a minute? They want you to tackle them together. They want you to do this with them. If you've studied Dr. Gary Chapman at all and his five love languages, I've talked about that with my students this semester a lot. He says we need to have this cool thing called acts of service. People love to serve other people by doing things. And there's another author, Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, who's written the book, The Language of Love and Respect. He shares specifically about vacuuming with his wife. And it's a funny story because he shares in there that he hates vacuuming more than anything in the world because he had to do it his whole entire life, and he swore when he got married he was never going to vacuum again. But his wife loves him to vacuum. And part of love is sharing tasks and doing them together. So sharing tasks with our friends, that just simply means do your errands together. But beyond that, with God, this is about us being able to act on the tasks that God asks of us. One of the most powerful books that I've read recently for my life is by Lisa Turkhurst, and it's a book called The Best Yes. And in it, she talks about how God wants us to do all kinds of things with him. He reminds us when all out of the sudden, out of the blue, you hear him drop on your heart the name of a person you haven't thought about in 20 years, 10 years. He's asking you to reach out to them. They need you right now. But we're so busy, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't thought of her. I hope she's fine. And then we go on our merry way, and we run 45 errands, and I go to soccer and basketball and football and everything else, and then I forget about her. But God is like, I just asked you to do a task for me. You didn't hear it. You didn't do it. So this act on tasks that God asks of you is really, for me, asking you to take some time to slow down. And when God reminds you of those little tiny things that you're like, whoa, I have no idea why I just thought of that person. He knows. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world, and when he drops somebody's name on your heart, he's worked pretty hard to get it there. He probably means you need to do something about it. And if I could tell you the amount of times that I've actually reached out to somebody and said, oh, hey, I just wanted to, I've been thinking of you. They're like, oh, you contacted me at just the right time. I really needed somebody to pray for me. So, social networks, our self-disclosure, positivity, understanding, our networks, sharing tasks. There's two left, friends. The next one is assurances. Assurances is simply reminding people that when God calls us to be in communion with each other, that we want to still do that. We want to continue to walk the walk with you. And what does this look like in our relationships? This is sharing regularly that you're committed. If you're a parent, this means reminding your child that you love them every day. Don't take it for granted that they know that. For you that are falling in love, this is reminding the person you're about to walk on this loving relationship with through life, reminding them that you love them. If you're married, if you let one day go by that you don't tell your spouse you love them, it's a bad day. You need to stress to your partner that you are in it for the good and the bad every single day. And even your friendships, right? Hey, I'm so glad you're my friend. That's all you need to say. Some of you are better at that. I've seen all the Hallmark cards. Some of you, you can make me cry. But for others of you, just saying, I'm so glad you're my friend. Thanks for being there. I'm glad you're in this life with me. That's it. That's important. And with God, this assurance. So this is actually, I'm gonna share a quote from this student later, but her work in class this week touched me in a way that I hadn't been touched in a while thinking about God's love. She talked about God's love like being a pail. And she said every morning we need to fill that pail with God's love. So if we don't check in with God, we can't fill up our bucket. And then if our bucket's not filled with God, we can't go out and pour it into people all day. God didn't just give us this love so we can be like, put it on, keep it, and keep it to ourselves. He wants us to share it with other people. So this bucket analogy, this with God, we need to check in with God every day in our relationships, and we need to reaffirm our connection with him every day. So the last maintenance tactic that I'm going to talk to you about today and how you can use them in your relationships is about how we have talks about our relationships, aptly titled Relationship Talks. These are going to be a little bit more difficult. If I would categorize these in the list of tools in your toolbox, this is in the advanced drawer that you should pull out when you have a little bit more time and connection with that person. You don't pull this out while you're waiting for your Starbucks in the drive-thru. Because this one takes some care, some concern. I would say this one has some caution tape around the front there. I didn't put that on the slide because it would probably look awkward and you couldn't read all the rest of the stuff on there. But With relationship talks in our love and in our friendships, this means setting aside time to do relationship check-in. This means saying to your spouse or your sister or your daughter or your grandparent or your granddaughter, how's it going? How is our relationship working out? And I like to think about it, if I'm really being honest, I want to say, let's dream, how much better could our relationship be? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had more time for date nights? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had more time to just sit down and talk? Wouldn't it be nice if we called each other every day and read the Bible? My friend and I did this. We were in college together, and we went to church together all the time, and I love her. And then we went off different ways, got married, live in different parts of the country. We decided we were going to call each other and do a Bible study over the phone once a week. How could we do it better? We could connect with God every once in a while, and it would sometimes be, oh my God, I didn't read the chapter this week, I'm so sorry. But we had this time to connect. So with our friends, we could do that. But with God, this also goes back to what I was talking about, asking God, how's it going, and then listening. This is a relationship that we have with God. And we need to be able to listen. So, God, how's it going? How is our relationship? What are some things you want me to do more? Serve in missions, right? If he says that to you after Pastor A was up here today, he whispered it on your heart, he is serious. This can make our relationship better, so go do it. Listen to God when he's talking back to you. Don't just be like, here's my prayer list, I gotta do all this, and I'm gonna go sleep. Like, if you're talking to him, stop and listen. What is he writing on your heart? My husband loves it when I'm like, I don't know what's gonna come out of my mouth, but God's saying something, just listen, right? And he knows, he's like, oh, dear Lord. My wife is, but I get those ideas. And when God says it, I just have to get it off my heart and my soul. And so listen to what God's telling you to do. So this journey that I've taken you on today, the seven tools, the self-disclosure, the positivity, the understanding, the networks, the way that we connect with people are so important. But why should we do them? Why do we need to keep doing them? Well, research has looked at it over and over again. We've asked people how they work. We have studied them. We've had them do all kinds of surveys and all kinds of ways of life. And we found over and over and over again, and I've actually just got a little list up there of some studies. I could give you hundreds more. Come see me. I love to talk about this stuff. But this is just a sampling. But all of the research says if you use these seven tactics in your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriage, it will lead to satisfaction, it will lead to liking, and it's going to lead to love. God has called us to be in communion and to love one another. Positivity, though, like I said, is the most important tactic that you can go to. In your emergency toolkit, you should pull out positivity. I want to tell you how to use that one better tonight. So tonight at 5, I would love it if you came back and joined us here. Because I'm going to be talking about positivity, but not only positivity in your relationships, but in the larger community, in your church community. And for those of you that might be struggling on the inside with some anxieties, some depression, trying to figure out, we're dealing with tough stuff sometimes. We're in tough seasons. I'm going to give you some time to think about what this positivity means on the inside as well. So I would love for you to come join and see what God wants to do with positivity in your life at 5. Come and join us. But I'm going to leave you with two quotes, three quotes, actually. Oh, I don't want to leave one of the students off. So I am blessed to work at Northwest University. God gives me the coolest students in the world to work with. You might know some of them. I've heard some come from this church community. But I asked my students, I said, I'm doing this message on maintenance. I want to know from you, why do you think God calls us to be with each other? Why does God want us to maintain relationships well? So this first quote is from Kieran Rainey. Kieran says, Christ called us to be in constant community with each other. Learning how to develop and maintain relationships is key to being a unified body. The second student, Nell Herring, she said, God wants us to maintain these relationships so that we can live peacefully in fellowship with one another. And in this scary global world sometimes, we really need to live peacefully with one another. When we have healthy relationships, we can grow exponentially with a healthy community around us. This last quote that I'll share with you is from Sammy Price. And Sammy is the one that I shared the bucket analogy that kind of really touched my heart this week. Sammy said, God wants us to be good stewards of the people in our lives, but also good stewards of the time that he's given us. He is a God of relationships. He maintains it with us, and he wants us to pass that on.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.